Everybody, welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode number 7 of The Lowdown for February 16th, 2010. My name's Carlos, and of course, I am joined, as always, by my boy, Bobby. Bobby, what's going on?
Nothing much, Carlos. How are ya?
I'm doing all right, man. How's it going out there in sunny California?
California was actually pretty nice today. It was 64 degrees, and I was next to the Golden Gate Bridge, and it was beautiful. It
must be nice, because I'm freezing my balls off over here, so thanks.
I heard. I hear that in Washington, D.C., or Virginia, where you're closer to Virginia, that they've stopped measuring snow by inches, and now they're just measuring feet.
Yeah, man, it was crazy here. About a week ago, we got a lot of snow. We measured 18 inches in my driveway, and I'm pretty sure it was deeper in my front yard. We just didn't even bother measuring it because we couldn't get up to the front. The snow drifts were so high, it came up to my waist, and I'm like 5'6", 5'7", and it was up to my waist, so we were like, it was like the Arctic. It was crazy.
Wow, that's nuts.
So let's talk about a couple different things today. We're going to touch briefly on heroes and not by choice, really. I mean, let's really, you know, get down into nitty gritty here. I mean, Heroes season kind of sucked this year, but we wouldn't be our show if we didn't talk a little bit about Heroes, and especially because it was the season finale, I guess, which I thought was really weird. I didn't even know it was the season finale until you sent me a text saying, "Hey, what'd you think of the season finale of Heroes?" But so I'm kind of confused by that. So, Bobby, what do you know about this? I mean, was it the season finale? Is it not coming back till the fall, or what's the deal with Heroes?
Yeah, it was definitely the season finale because it's an 18-episode season, I believe, and they wanted to hurry up and conclude the season prior to the Olympics starting.
Yeah, but they got 2 months worth of – I mean, technically the season ends in, like, May, right? Isn't that what TV's doing?
Yeah, it typically does, so that means that when we saw Heroes this season is we saw less repeats, so we just kept going episode after episode after episode. And in the words of the great fancast.com, this season was atrocious.
Yeah, dude. I mean, first of all, I didn't know it was the last episode of the season. So when I started watching it, and I'm like, and it seemed like it was coming to an end because they had been building up to this, you know, big showdown between Samuel and Siler and Peter and all this other, you know, all this other stuff going on. And it was lame. I mean, it ended lame. I mean, everybody kind of just disappeared on Samuel, and all of a sudden he was like powerless. And then there was really no showdown between Siler and Peter. And I don't know. I don't get where they're going. You know,
I hate wussy Siler.
Yeah, really. I mean, what's the deal here? You know, he was going through this identity crisis this whole season, and everybody's just waiting for him to come back and be Siler again, and he wasn't. You know, and he said it himself. I'm a hero now.
Yeah, he's on a sabbatical. You know, he wants to know what life is all about. Fancast.com.
You know, I was actually the one thing I was disappointed. Well, there was a lot of things I was disappointed about, but the episode proved me wrong because I really thought, and I think I had told you about this before. So, Hero's love interest, and now her name escapes me. The chick that he was chasing after at the diner.
Oh, that old hag, Charlie.
Charlie, right? So I really thought that Charlie wasn't actually anywhere, that Samuel had tricked Hero into thinking that he had teleported her into some other time frame, right?
Yeah.
I thought that Samuel just kind of walked ahead of Hero, made Hero think she was gone, but she really wasn't. That she was actually in the same time period, but Hero just jumped them back to the future, back to the present, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, I guess he sent her to the past, right?
Yeah, he ended up sending her to the past, to like the 40s.
Yeah, she was, you know, the poster child for Rosie the Riveter.
Exactly. And that whole thing, I was kind of disappointed by that. What I thought was cool was how they kind of ended that whole story arc was, you know, it proved to Hero that you got to stop changing the past, that you really can't do anything about it, right? And she ended up being happy, and she didn't want to give that up because she could have changed, you know, he could have changed all that for her. And she's like, what do I want to change it for? I had a good life, you know?
That's true. I think one of the things that we can conclude from this season of Heroes is, besides it sucking so bad, you know, hopefully, you know, I don't think the network is going to, you know, grant it any more additional seasons. I think next season will be its last.
Well, you know, the rumor has it that they might not even make it to the next season. That's the rumors I've been hearing about Heroes, is that it's not not doing very well in the ratings, and it may not even be back around.
Yeah, the ratings they just tanked. They tanked so bad compared to season one. I mean, season one was such a strong showing. Storylines were nice, and you know, we know that we have that cult following of people who say, hey, it's exactly like the comic book, but unfortunately, you know, when you transfer that over to television, it just doesn't deliver the same. It's not the same feel. So you have a small fan base. You know, for that small fan base, hopefully Heroes will be saved, but I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah, so the title of the last episode was called A Brave New World. I like to call it The Brave Lame World because it was just lame. I didn't like the way it ended. It left way too much open, and it just, I mean, dude, there was really no battle at the end like, you know, the past seasons have been.
Exactly.
Everybody was waiting for Samuel and Siler to go at it, and that didn't even happen.
Yeah, you know? Or how about, you know, I want to see Samuel take over the world, but what a, you know, I don't know. It just sucked. I mean, his plan during the whole season was to introduce, you know, I guess the special people, you know, to the world. Who cares? How about, you know, world domination? Something nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm done with Heroes for now. I mean, of course, I'm going to be done until the next season. I'll probably watch, you know, the first episode of the next season just because, you know, I'm stupid.
so we can talk smack. But luckily for the fantasy sci-fi genre, I think there is a show on the new horizon, and I've got my fingers crossed. I really hope the show makes it.
Yeah.
So, and that show being, drum roll, please. Ta-da.
Caprica. Carlos? Caprica. Yes. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Caprica. So I've got to caveat this conversation by saying I remember Battlestar Galactica, the original one. I only saw a couple episodes of the new one that got remade, you know, a few years ago. A lot of reasons why, but basically I was overseas and I wasn't getting the episodes on TV out there, and I wasn't really downloading them, you know, with a BitTorrent or anything. So I never got caught up with the second evolution of Battlestar Galactica, right? So I'm going into Caprica pretty blind, right? Pretty blind with the story and what really happened in the new Battlestar Galactica. I understand the Cylons and everything, but I think we've got two different spectrums here, because you're a big Battlestar Galactica fan. You know the story real well. You're going with that knowledge into Caprica. I'm going in the opposite, completely blind in what really happened in Battlestar Galactica. So I'm really interested to hear what you got to say about Caprica so far.
All right. So I'm going to take the internet up to speed on all three genres of the Battlestar series. The first being the original series that was in the late 70s, early 80s, I want to say.
Yeah.
That was a reptilian race which controlled the Cylon race, which were, you know, the metal guys, the Cylons. And they were after a ragtag fleet of humans. They also had a leader, and his name was Baltar. That series was a cult following. Then about in the 2000s, Battlestar Galactica was reimaged. This time, they still had the regular Cylons. They were metal, but they evolved, and they were able to create a technology where you can be in human form, and you can actually die, but you can download into a database and then just be reborn again. Baltimore was also in that series, but he was as a doctor on the human side, and they still battled the ragtag fleet of humans. The story of that one was very well received by the fans. And at the end, what we did find out is that everything always happens over again and again and again. So now we get into Caprica. And Caprica was designed for not just Battlestar Galactica fans. I mean, there are Easter eggs in the series, but it's designed for anybody to just go into it blindly and just see how it's going to lead up to the new Battlestar Galactica. So this Caprica series is set about 56 years before the Cylons, you know, turn on the human race.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So this whole thing with I don't understand the religion. Was the religion aspect in a big deal in Battlestar Galactica? Because, you know, it seems like there's this thing where they have multi-gods versus a single god, and that's how this whole thing kind of started. So was that a big deal in the Battlestar Galactica series?
Yep, it's always been a huge deal. You'll always hear them say, oh my gods, instead of oh my god. Mm-hmm. And basically, if you just look at the constellations, you know, those are the gods. And they kind of put a little bit twist on the names. So, like, you know, Taurus will be Tauron, and that's a planet, and there's a god for Tauron. And then, you know, Gemini will be called something else, and so on and so on and so on. And those are the gods, and everybody, you know, prays to those gods. Now, there is one group, which I guess in this series they're considered to be bad or terrorists. They believe in only one god, and they go by a branding, and that's the infinity symbol.
So
that's one part of it, the religious aspect of the humans. What we're seeing in Caprica right now is that Taurons, you know, are kind of like filthy, you know, kind of like the lowly looked upon race, right, of one of the planets, which is interesting because right now one of the characters is Adama,
right.
And he's got little Adama, and little Adama in the history of Battlestar Galactica is going to go on to defeat the Cylon race.
Right, because he ends up becoming Admiral Adama, right, in Battlestar Galactica. Yep.
He ends up becoming Admiral Adama. So right now we're kind of seeing him grow up, and his uncle's kind of showing him the bad ways, which is very interesting, too, because his uncle's in the mob. You know, that's something we never knew about, you know, the Adamas. In the other series, we would hear about General Adama's father, but we knew that he was a great civil attorney. That's what we would always hear.
Right.
So that's interesting. But what's also interesting is that we meet Zoe. And Zoe essentially now, at least in this cycle, because remember, there's always a cycle. It's happened over and over again. In this cycle of the Cylons being, I guess, recreated, you know, Zoe Greystone is the first Cylon.
Right.
Now, here's where it can get confusing for you, Carlos, if you're not completely up to par on the generation. Cylon, this whole Cylon mess, besides what we're watching, had already happened 4,500 years ago prior, you know, and the world was, and Earth was destroyed. So somehow Earth finds a way to recreate the Cylon. So this is just another cycle, you know, of a human actually creating, you know, the Cylons, which the metal version, they're called toasters.
Right, right. So that's interesting because when you think about it, that it's cyclic, right? And this is another cycle. It's kind of like the Matrix, because if you remember the story of the Matrix, there was a cycle. There had been more than one Neo, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. You're right. I had no idea that, without knowing the story, I had no idea that this was part of a bigger cycle.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool because, you know, somebody had to have created the Cylons, and there were five humans, which may or may not be introduced in this series, that 4,500 years ago earlier, you know, made a pact with those Cylons and told them, like, hey, if you want peace with the humans, we'll teach you advanced Cylon technology, and we'll teach you how to make them into human form and do downloadable bodies and all kinds of stuff. So it's interesting to see, at least in the Adama genre, you know, this is how, you know, their Cylon, you know, attack came to be, which is very interesting, and it's just very exciting for me. I know a lot of the ratings or a lot of the reviews are saying that the series is kind of moving slow, but I think for the first pieces of the episodes that it's perfect, and I think they're going to start picking it up. But basically what you're seeing is how the Cylons came to be. You know, Adama and Greystone, they lost their daughters. And Greystone essentially is the inventor of the hologram, where you can put this hologram on and go into fantasy worlds or fantasy rooms and have group sex and do all this crazy stuff. And we're starting to discover that his daughter, she was, you know, part of this group that believed in just one god. And right now they're thinking that she was part of a terrorist group. She really wasn't part of a – she wasn't a terrorist, as you can see on the show. Her boyfriend blew up that train, which caused her to die and caused his daughter and wife to die. But their avatars are trapped in this hologram world. So Greystone has figured out how to download the memory of that avatar and bring it into a robot. Which essentially, I think, you know, I hope in my generation, kind of makes sense. because the brain is kind of like a computer that can be downloadable.
Yeah, but you know what? The story seems, you know, now that you're explaining a little bit, and I had thought about this when I first started watching the show, was it's almost Terminator-ish, right? Isn't this kind of like the way the Terminators, the Terminator story kind of went?
Yeah, kind of. There's no time travel in this one.
Right, yeah, except for that, yeah.
It's there's, you know, it's just a cycle. But to me, what interests me the best is just the technology, and that's another thing I was going to bring in. What they're portraying is a world that is so technologically savvy that they're a disaster. The human race has become a disaster because, you know, you've got, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls, you know, putting on this hologram, which was invented by Greystone, and then they're going off having orgies, you know, and it feels like life. And, you know, it's almost like they're predicting what's going on. You know, if you own an iPhone or if you own a BlackBerry and you wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning and you're like checking it like crazy, or you're checking your Facebook pages. This is what these people are doing now. They were just so intertwined in technology that they just lost sight of just being a regular human being. So it's a trippy series. I'm very interested to see where they're going to take it. I mean, we all know the end. You know, eventually the Cylons are going to evolve and they're going to turn on the humans. But how everything goes down, you know, it's gonna be pretty cool to see. I'm hoping that this series sticks around.
So I'm confused then. So if the way I remember Battlestar Galactica and the Cylons turning on the humans, well, you said it was a reptilian race that was controlling the machines, right?
That was the original one, right? Yeah.
Okay, so
for the reimaged one, they had no mention of reptilians.
Right. So it was really just an avatar embedded into this machine. So was it the machines turning on humans, or was it the avatar turning on the humans?
I guess the download. Well, I guess we're gonna find that out. But yeah, if I was to guess, so basically the way the avatar was made is in this new world, everything is traceable. You know, doctor's records. You know, IMs. You know, emails. Everything. So what they do is they take all of that they can find in the technology world, and then they create an avatar, and then they upload all those memories into the avatar. So essentially what you have is an avatar that remembers everything up until their death.
Right.
So then what they did is they went into the virtual world with a thumb drive, and they pulled all the memories out of that avatar in the virtual world.
And they put it on
a robot.
Right.
Yep, and put it on a robot.
Yeah, they put it and on now that disc that they stole.
Yep. So they took the avatar out of the virtual world and brought it into the human world. So if they say that they were smart, somebody like, let's say, especially Zoe Greystone, which we might find out. I'm gonna go ahead and guess this, since she was the first Cylon. She is now. We're starting to learn was just as smart as her dad. You know, she can figure out a way to turn on the human race.
Right.
And my guess would be right now is they would probably want to turn on the human race, because right now those Cylon machines are being sold as arms to the armed forces. You know, so they're going to send them out to battle. That would be like somebody downloading all my memories, putting me in a Cylon, you know, a metal, you know, a robotic figure, and then sending me off to war. They probably figured out a way to, you know, turn on the humans for that reason. And then at that point, they want to figure out how to put themselves into a human life form body, which they eventually do.
Yeah.
It'll be pretty interesting to see. Yeah.
But then eventually too, right, in the Battlestar Galactica, the new series, these Cylons evolve from being machines like we come to know them as, the toasters or whatever they're called, to being human-like.
Yep, they're straight up human-like. They develop 12 different models. So you can be one of 12 different models, and if you die, your memories get downloaded into a ship, and then you're reborn again. It's pretty cool. So they can essentially never die. Those memories just download again. And the cool thing is that since there's 12 models, but there's millions of Cylons that are now in human form, that same model remembers everything. So everything's universal. It's really trippy.
So it's
trippy.
Like, it's like got everybody's memories in.
Everybody's memories in it. It's really trippy. So you'll start to see, like, you know, there's one character, her name is Boomer in the Battlestar Galactica series, and Boomer was somebody who tried to assassinate General Adama. And then there was somebody else named Sharon, but they're the same model, but she was a hero in the Battlestar Galactica universe, but they're the same person essentially.
And do they end up being at odds with each other within their own mind, I guess?
I believe they ended up battling it out, you know, towards the end of the series.
Yeah.
But the thing that's crazy in this story is that General Adama, at least for this Cylon person, he always loved her and cared for her as a daughter. So imagine what he was going through when one of the models, this is before he knew that she was a Cylon, tries to assassinate him, and then the other one turns up, and that's the one he loves as a daughter. It's a trip.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, you know what? I just need a breakdown and get on Netflix or something and get the series and watch it, you know? And luckily, yeah. My wife's into a Caprica now, which is weird because she's not really like a sci-fi type person, even though she would watch Heroes and Terminator, I think, to appease me. But she's kind of into Caprica. In fact, she was kind of mad because there wasn't an episode this past Friday because of the Olympics. So
yeah, they're dubbing Caprica the first science fiction soap opera. And I think it is, if you kind of think about it. And I think it's pretty cool how it's all unraveling. I mean, I'm pretty excited. I never thought that, you know, I knew about Adama's dad, but now he's, you know, it's S.A. Morales. He's turning out to be pretty cool, you know, a cool character to be General Adama's dad. And even his brother, you know, who's William Adama's uncle. You know, that guy is a gangster, and it's kind of weird. You know, he's like a gay gangster, and they talk about being gay so normally.
Well, you know, and I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting twist. Well, I don't want to call it a twist. It really wasn't a twist, but that was an interesting plot point in the last episode, was that there's this whole homosexual component now. And not that I care. I don't care about it, but, you know, I guess you've got this stereotypical gangster in your head. You think of the mafia and that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden he's gay. It's like, really? That was so weird to me, you know?
Yeah. And again, I think that's something, this is something me and my friends have talked about. You know, I think that this is something that the world is going to head towards, is that after a while, everybody's just going to be freaking having sex with everybody, and they're not going to care. And I think our generation of kids, you know, and I don't know how I feel about it. I haven't really explored it. I mean, you know, am I going to have a son one day and he's going to come home with a dude, and then the next day he's going to come home with a chick, and they're going to look at me like, "Hey, well, what's the problem?"
Yeah, you know, like it's just a normal part of life at that point.
It's just normal. I mean, another scene that you see in Caprica is one of the school teachers, you know, invites one of the students over to her house for tea and lunch, and the school teacher's got like freaking five wives and five husbands.
Yeah. That whole polygamy thing. I was like, really? Yeah. They're really hitting some, I don't want to call them taboo. They're not really taboo anymore. Right. But they're hitting some, excuse me. They're really hitting some subjects here that, I think normal sci-fi show wouldn't normally touch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's why I'm into it, and that's why I'm dealing with the slow pace of the first few episodes. I think it's really about to pick up. I'm a big fan. Zoe Greystone, she's from the Bay Area. She actually went to Palo Alto High School, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away from me. Zoe Greystone, if you're listening, you are on my iPhone as a wallpaper. It's pretty cool. She's a hottie. She's 22.
Really? She's 22?
22 years old.
Dad, I would never guess that, because she plays the teenager. I thought she was a teenager because she looks young. Yeah, she looks real young.
Zoe Greystone, I will eat an apple with you any day. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, pull up the very first advertisement of Caprica, and you'll see it's a picture of Zoe Greystone with no apple. I mean, with no clothes on, with only an apple covering her supple breasts and their nice blue eyes, and it looks like she's saying, "Bobby Rogue, come and get me."
You're crazy, man. Who the lady that plays the nun or the sister, or whatever, the school principal, whatever they call it, in that, what else did she come on? She looks really familiar.
Oh, she is a very famous actress from the UK. Her name is Polly Walker. You can go to IMDb. She is in a slew of stuff. She is most recently remembered as having been in, oh my God, I can't believe it's surpassing me because it's one of my favorite TV shows. Maybe you can remind me. Oh, she was in Rome, HBO's Rome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she is most famous, number one, she was naked half the time in that show. But one of her most famous scenes in that TV show of Rome is that she wanted to cleanse herself. So they hung a freaking cow above her head, and she took a knife and ripped into the cow's belly, and then she showered in blood.
And that's how she cleansed herself in Rome?
Yeah, and it was a very – everybody went nuts for that scene. They loved it, all the Rome viewers. She's very remembered for that. She did all kinds of crazy stuff, but she's a one hell of an actress. In fact, that cast is one hell of a cast. You've got Eric Stoltz as Greystone Jr. You've got, you know, Polly Walker. You've got some characters. Well, you've got S.A. Morales from La Bamba fame. Not Mary Richard! You've got who else? Who else is on that show? You've got Jason Street from Friday Night Lights. He's going to play a character. Polly Walker, you can tell, was trying to get Jason Street to seduce Zoe's friend when she went there for lunch.
Right, right. So, yeah, the younger guy, right?
Yep. And here's something else. Have you seen the opening credits of that show? Is, I don't know. I think it's really cool. It's probably one of the coolest openings I've ever seen. Real, like, it really laid down the sci-fi.
Yeah, 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 yeah. In fact, because they didn't play the opening credits in the first episode, and nope. We caught it in the second one, and we're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I remember thinking that to myself.
Yeah, I've rewinded it, and I've, like, played it slowly because to get clues, you know, of, like, what might go down.
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, I do like the opening credits and that. Yeah, I think overall, Capricorn is going to be good. I mean, they definitely got a new fan in me. Hopefully it doesn't go the route of Heroes and Terminator and all those other, you know, sci-fi shows I was into and that just kind of fell off the face of the earth, you know.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the cool thing, too, about, like, the Battlestar Galactica universe is they know when to call it quits. They went in, you know, they only did a couple of seasons for the original Battlestar. They said, this is when we're starting, this is when we're ending, and hopefully they'll do the same. You know, we know that they got to cover 56 years. So hopefully they can knock it out in, you know, 5 seasons.
Yeah, you know what? that's going to be interesting to see how they do that. I mean, because do they really need to cover 56 years? I'm not sure. I'm not sure they need to. I mean, they may need to do some, like, you know, they can do this 1 or 2 years of the beginning of the Cylons and how that all that came to be. But then they might be able to just jump right, you know, lead right into the where Battlestar Galactica started.
Yep.
But if you think about it, then, I mean, if this was 56 years before the events of Battlestar Galactica, and Will Adama, is that his first name? Will, right? The kid?
Yep.
He's like, what, 13, 14?
Yep.
That puts him like almost 70.
Yep. And that was his age in the series. He was actually retiring. I think they were putting him into the Hall of Fame when they were actually grounding his Battlestar ship when the Cylons attacked.
Really?
Yeah, so he was everybody. In fact, his nickname in the series is the old man in the Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, he was old as dirt. He was ready to hang him up, and the Cylons attacked, and he was back in it. So it'll be interesting to see what his path is as young. It's, you know, before we would just knew that he was in the service, you know?
Yeah.
And we knew that he had 2 sons, and we knew that one of his sons died.
Right. Well, so, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he ends up going into becoming a military guy, because right now he's going the path of a gangster, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right now. And I think that's so cool because, I mean, I think that that's probably one of the real life things where, you know, kids look up to their uncles and the kids walking around with them throwing, you know, chairs through windows and saying, hey, you know, man up and don't say anything. We'll be out in a few seconds.
Yeah, you know what? And that's funny because I didn't understand that whole thing. Like, why did he even do that, you know? I didn't understand that, why that whole sequence went down.
It's teaching them the mafia way.
I guess. Yeah, Caprica's going to be good. We're going to be definitely talking about it on the lowdown and keeping everybody up to date on what we're thinking about these episodes. So the next episode is this Friday. I'm sure we'll do a show not too long after that talking about it, doing a little bit of recap. Because right now, there's really not too many shows going on right now. Heroes is out for a while. V doesn't start again until March. We're not really... watching anything else right now, so.
Nope. Nope. And if you want to watch some good television, I definitely recommend you tune into NBC because Friday Night Lights is about to debut. Man, I think it's going to debut soon. That is a great show for you to watch. A lot of people, a lot of writers around America are saying that the cast in Friday Night Lights will probably be the future Grammy. I mean, not Grammy, the future Emmy and Academy Award winners in the next couple of decades. That's how strong that cast is.
See, that's another show that I never really got into and that maybe I need to find some time and pick up.
If you're a Friday Night Light fan and you're listening out there, internet listeners of the lowdownradio.com, you can actually purchase a double packet, seasons 1 and 2 of Friday Night Lights, for $20 at Target. And you can get the third season sold as a single pack for $16 at Target.
And they're at what? I'm going on season 4 now?
They're season 4 just ended. It's on DirecTV. There's NBC has a special deal with DirecTV where DirecTV funds to have the show produced, and then DirecTV airs it first, and then NBC airs it second. But you can basically, you know, the cool thing about Friday Night Lights is that season 1 was 22 episodes, and then seasons 2 and 3 were 13 episodes each, and season 4 was 13 episodes. So you can literally knock out the entire collection in about a weekend if you wanted to.
Yeah, I might have to check that out and get up to speed on that one, because I've heard nothing but great things on it. Yeah, yeah.
It's a great show about just real life.
Yeah, cool. All right, one last thing before we get out of here. I just want to send a big, I don't know if you want to call it thank you or whatever. One of my favorite podcasts that I listen to is actually going off the air. It's called Extra Life Radio, headed up by Scott Johnson, Obsidian, and Brian Dunaway. They just said that they're going off on a high. They're not going to let the show go into the ground. They've been podcasting for like 5 years, and the reason I bring this up is because I'm a big fan of Scott Johnson's work. He's one of the main reasons I got into podcasting and started the show and started doing the podcast for my fraternity and kind of delving into a couple different things in this genre. And gonna miss the podcast a lot. Big fan of them, big fan of what they did and all the work that they put in, and if we can have just an ounce of their success, then I think we'll be in a good place, Bobby. So just want to, you know, put that out there real fast as a huge fan of their work, and just want to wish them good luck in whatever they decide to do in the future. So all right, if you guys are interested in learning more about the Lowdown, you can visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. Bobby, any last parting words for the internet before we sign off?
All I want to say is this is Bobby Rogue on behalf of the Lowdown. Internet, you got it right. I am the keys to the ignition.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening, and everyone have a great evening.